Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, a talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Tutor Show, simulcasted with the Beach Lifestyle segment, celebrity segment. I'm really excited, GJ, for you to announce our next guest, because again, this is what's so fun about doing a simulcast. We're able to bring your great celebrities on to my network as well. So go ahead and introduce them.
Well, it's my honor, my privilege. And, you know, we were talking earlier about having, these different athletes, and what's been fantastic is to see success stories where athletes that have played at the highest level have gone on and been very successful, you know, off the court as well. And that streak continues. And today we have a former NBA All-Star. He was an NCAA first-team All-American. He played for the Georgetown University Hoyas, Coach Thompson, had a great, stellar NBA career. And has gone on to be very successful in the business world as well. And so please welcome Eric Sleepy Floyd. How you doing, Sleepy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, Eric, I'm really excited because, again, you are what I, when I grew up, and then I'm not acting like you've been around forever, but when I was a kid, I was a huge Georgetown Hoya fan when Pitt wasn't very good, when Pitt wow. broke into the Big East Conference, and I remember the team. Oh, my gosh, you guys were unbelievable, and I followed your career in the NBA as well, so it's an honor that you're on the program. But I think that our topic today is going to kind of relate education and also, business in certain ways, talking about the product that you're promoting right now. But, and it's, again, the Comfort Revolution. So, Eric, kind of explain what you're doing with the organization, and then we're going to talk about the importance of a good night's sleep, which I'm not having right now because of my fourth little one. So go ahead.
Right, well, first let me say I am old. Yeah, we can get that out the way from back when I played back at the Big East and Georgetown and all of that. So don't feel bad about referencing that, that's for sure. But, yeah, I'm excited to become a spokesperson and ambassador for Comfort Revolution. We're a company that develop pillows and mattresses to help with the comfort of sleep. So basically what I'm going to be doing in my role with the company is going into schools, high schools, and junior high, elementary, and talk about the importance of sleep, along with this great product that I've partnered up with. It just goes hand in hand. So I'm looking forward to my new role with the company and just looking forward to going to the schools and social media and radio and television talking about the importance of sleep and also our product.
And that's great, because I think that, again, what we talked about before, the importance of a good night's sleep, and to tell kids about that, that's a great part of the promotion. And, GJ, you know how important it is for a good night's sleep, especially when you're talking about traveling on the road to Austin.
Well, you know, obviously, if you're going to have a productive day, you know, it all goes back to the amount of rest that you have. And, you know, for most of our listeners who are on the go, entrepreneurs, making it happen, go, go, go. You definitely want a good night's sleep, and, sleeping in a nice bed is the best thing. So, obviously, you've got some new technology and so forth. So, why don't you describe a little bit about, the products that you have, and also where are we able to find more information about your product?
First, let me say, just give some information, some background on important sleep. There's been a lot of research done that a lack of sleep could lead to a decrease in your focus and stamina and reaction. That's whether you're playing sports or your daily activities on the job. So it's very important that with all the research that's going on in that marketplace, that it really has a lot to do with your performance at work or on the field if you're an athlete. I mean, Roger Federer and LeBron James have stated they try to sleep 12 hours a day. Recently, Usain Bolt and Venus Williams came out and said that they try to sleep 10 hours a day.
Wow.
And I know, right, so I know when I was playing, you know, aside from my nickname, I did try to get a lot of sleep before games and at night just for my performance. And basically what the product of Comfort Revolution does is it forms to your head and neck to relax your muscles. And I'm a tough sleeper, so I need assistance. You know, sometimes you get those pillows that just doesn't form to your neck and you're twisting and turning all night. So what Comfort Revolution has developed is a memory foam cushion that a pillow, excuse me, that forms to your physique and your body type. So where you're not twisting and pounding your pillow throughout the night, this product will form to your body structure, each individual person.
Very, very interesting. Because I remember, here's a story, Eric, of when I was playing college basketball. I'm 6'10", by the way. I was playing at Western Maryland, and they had to order. I couldn't sleep in the college dorm room beds, and I think you remember those stories as well. So when you don't feel comfortable with a night's sleep, regardless of how many hours you get, it just really. You need something like that. So I think that that's a great product. And how are you promoting that, especially to middle school and high schoolers, about specifically the importance of sleep? Especially when you talked about LeBron, 12 hours? Are you kidding me? I wish I could have 12.
Yeah, I know, me too. So basically, we want to, you know, because it goes hand in hand with nutrition and the way kids are training nowadays. I mean, if you have great nutrition, you don't get the proper amount of rest, sleep, or you can't get comfortable, then it takes away from your whole game plan of trying to become a better player. So basically I'll go in and make sure that kids understand, along with nutrition and eating properly, that the importance of sleep is part of that game plan. That's like having a game plan and you say, okay, well, this team's a good outside shooting team. Well, you want to make sure, if that's the case, that the pill that you sleep goes hand in hand with your scouting report to be successful.
Exactly, and I think that's so important, and I think that when you're talking about the product fitting comfortably, I think GJ can attest to this, especially the older he gets, that through a good night's sleep, you have to feel comfortable because of the aches and pains of your life, right, G?
Well, as I've gotten a little bit older, and Eric, we're the same age, so we can both probably resonate with the different aches and pains that happen as we get a little bit older. And obviously, a good night's sleep is important. And then, and you also touch upon good nutrition. My main company is a health and wellness company, and we're all focused about nutrition and proper diet. And one thing that I've learned as I've gotten older, good rest, good nutrition, and good exercise has kept me performing at a higher level. So obviously you're doing that. You're teaching other people to do that. So where are we able to find more information about the Comfort Revolution?
Yeah, you can go to comfortrevolution.com, and they have a list of all the products and the history of the company and how it started by the CEO, Michael Phipps. Is an innovator in the industry. He's been around for 25 years. He initially started Sleep Innovations, ended up selling that and coming back into the marketplace and started Comfort Revolution in 2009. So he saw that there was still a vacancy in the industry for quality, innovative product to assist in day-to-day sleep. So I'm just so proud to be a part of the company and looking forward to really bringing brand awareness across the country to hospitals and elementary, just over the entire marketplace.
So I know that you're not don't know scientifically about the product, but from what you've gathered from talking to the CEO and understanding more and more about it, it really does make it a more comfortable sleep than, correct, the Comfort Revolution?
Oh, definitely. And they also have a cooling gel within the pillow. So you know how a lot of people, I know I do, I sleep hot at night. So the cooling gel brings your body temperature down to where you can get to sleep a lot faster and sleep longer. And it's called a hydraulics gel that's implemented into the pillow. So it assists in the cooling of your body temperature and allows you to sleep throughout the night. You know how many times throughout the night you're reaching for trying to find a cool place on your pillow to continue to sleep comfortably. So this cooling gel assists in that. This is a remarkable product. I don't know if you know who Bethany Frankel is. She's a reality star, business entrepreneur. She's featured and talked about Comfort Revolution's products on OpenSky.com and how happy she was to be utilizing the product.
What?
And then also, we're also featured on Dr. Oz two or three times about the quality of the product and how effective it is in gaining a good night's sleep.
So it's very interesting, I guess, also, GJ, we've talked about this before, and you can maybe give some dialogue to Eric about this, that when we bring athletes on that have decided after their careers are over, not all of them go into sports casting or stay in sports and coaching, to really entrepreneurship and sports go hand in hand, don't they, GJ?
Well, it does, because, you know, and it's part of the team, and obviously Eric's part of the, you know, the Comfort Revolution team. And there's that camaraderie. There's a action plan, as Eric also shared. And you know, so a lot of the things that as players and athletes gather growing up and playing sports, you know, business, when you find the right company, the right team, or create the right company, the right team, you get to apply the same benefits both in business and both in sports. And Eric's done that. And so my hat's off to you, Eric. And so where can we find information on you specifically as well?
Oh, you can go to copperrevolution.com and locate all the kinds of things that I'm doing in the community, just giving back, all the different charities that I work with. And I'm going to be doing a lot more things with Copper Revolution in that field as well. They do a wonderful job of giving back to the community through the Michael Fuchs Foundation. Just recently, we were down in Miami giving out Christmas gifts to families in need. So it's a quality company with a great product. And be sure for all your listeners out there, please go to CopperRevolution.com, look at all the different products, and then give you so much information on the importance of sleep and all the innovative ways the Copper Revolution is doing to assist in everyday sleep.
So what is one thing we do, Eric, on the show is we ask our athletes, anyone that comes on the show, what their 90-day challenge is, especially now with launching the product promotion, going and visiting the schools. What is your 90-day challenge that you want to set in the next 90 days?
Oh, the next 90 days is going to be very active in brand awareness, letting people understand or helping them understand the importance of sleep. So basically getting out more aggressively to the communities and the schools, social media, through television and radio, just getting our message out on how important sleep is and how Comfort Revolution is an innovative company in the industry to help assist in that.
That's fantastic. So what other charities are you working with right now?
I work with the relatives here in Charlotte, North Carolina, Crisis Ministries downtown Charlotte, March of Dimes. I do quite a few things where I just give my time back and try to give the less fortunate something that maybe they don't have, or try to bring smiles to their face. I'm currently working on a Big Feet, Big Heart program where we donate shoes to the homeless men in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm basically based in Charlotte. So I got quite a few things going on charitable-wise, and I just enjoy it, and it's just my calling, and I've been doing it for years. So I would also reach out to your listeners. You know, find a great charity that you want to associate with, give back. It really does the heart.
All right, well, thanks again for calling the program, Eric. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your information. And, GJ, I know you enjoyed it as well. And I guess I wish I can get a good night's sleep. If my baby starts sleeping, my four-month-old, I'll get more sleep. And it's great that you were able to share to our listeners the importance of sleep. So thanks again for calling.
Okay, we'll send you a few pillows out to assist in that. How about that?
All right, that sounds great. All right, you take care now.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye. All right, you're listening to the Beach Lifestyle segment, celebrity segment on the Total Education Total Tutor Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Tutor Show, powered by the Beach Lifestyle celebrity segment, and I'm really excited for another celebrity. I tell you what, GJ, this is a lot of fun. The last two segments we've had have been great, but this guy has literally destroyed my favorite team back in the day, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So go ahead and introduce our guest for today.
Our next guest is, you know, he's been very successful on the basketball court, and he's been very successful off the basketball court, which is a common theme for the athletes that we've had. You know, where we hear the horror stories where a lot of athletes fail to make that transition. Well, he's definitely made that transition, and he's really focused about helping other people and elevating and transforming lives. And that's more important than what he did on the court. Although on the court, he's a two-time NBA champion. He's a three-time in a row consecutive winner of the three-point contest. And he was taking on the likes of the best of the best, and he was shooting out the lights. And and then he's gone on and done some coaching. And so please welcome to our show, Craig Hodges.
Appreciate it. I want to thank God for an opportunity to come across the airwaves, because I know it's a sacred opportunity. And for me, it's been a blessing to have had the success that I had basketball-wise. But now it's more important that we do whatever we can to stop violence, as we saw what went on in Newtown, Connecticut. Yes. And it's one of those things where I think now we should see that it's not about black, brown, red, yellow, or white. It's about what's right. And I think that's the thing that we've been working on. We have an organization called the Barrio Foundation out of Chicago, and we're working on bringing black and brown youth together to see that we can sit down at the table and we don't have to lash out at one another. And working with poor people, because I think if we can solve the problems and some of the issues of poor people, I think we can lift the nation up a lot better than if we just look at towards the middle class.
And you should be commended, Craig, especially with your successful NBA career, to go back and give back to the community, because I think it's so important. And like you said about Newtown, Connecticut, and what just happened, and the sadness, and what you're doing with the organization is fantastic in the way of exchanging books for different things. So kind of go a little bit more into the foundation.
Yeah, the foundation is called the Barrio Foundation. It was founded by a Hispanic brother out of Chicago by the name of Robert Renteria. Over the last couple of months, we've sat down and we built a game plan to be able to utilize the barrio as a vehicle for children to, you know, put down the violence, the guns, and the corruption, as opposed to trying to pick up something that would help them, you know, further their lives in a positive direction. And for me, I was born in 1960, so I'm a child of the Civil Rights Movement, and Dr. King was my hero. So for me, in studying what he taught us, his main message was that we have to fight against the evil triplets, which are racism, militarism, and economic exploitation. So for me, it's all about trying to change the condition of poor people and those who don't have, who have been disenfranchised from the society, basically.
And giving back, GJ, as Craig was talking about, so important. And I guess what the theme we see with all the athletes are going to come on, and also entertainers coming on to the segment, is that they truly know through their celebrity status they can help others and move others. Right, G? Go ahead, Craig.
Go ahead, Craig.
And that's one of the things that, you know, it's a delicate balance of when you're playing and you're trying to do some powerful things as far as community and as far as society. It's this delicate balance to be able to have your career stay on the path that you want it to go on, and then at the same time, spend your time doing what you know needs to be done for the future of the nation as well as the world. So now, and I think many times we think of when we're playing that that's our true career, but in fact that's a talent that God blessed us with, and our careers don't really start until after we're done playing. And that's the mindset that I've taken, is that right now I'm working on the things that I know that during the time that I played in the league, I tried to do some social activism, but sometimes it's misconstrued as trying to step out of your realm as a basketball player and trying to be too politically focused. But I think that during that period of time while you're in a visible position of power and authority, I think you have to utilize that as best you can, because once that light is turned off, it's a little bit harder to get that same light on issues that you want to bring about.
And what were you saying, GJ, about I know you have a question for Craig.
Well, first of all, you touched on a couple of things, Craig. You know, one is the delicate, you know, being a player or being an activist. And I see that it can be a very fine line. The other component is that you recognize that you had a platform, where a lot of athletes and celebrities sometimes tend to not use their platform.
Absolutely.
And then, as you said, you know, while the light's bright, that's where you have the loudest voice and the biggest platform.
No question.
And so you recognize that, and I applaud you for doing that. The other thing is that sometimes the path of the pioneer has the most resistance, and so you've been a pioneer in many ways. So I applaud you for doing that as well.
And appreciate it.
And obviously, I feel it, you know, in your spirit and what you're saying. I mean, your whole being is to be able to provide back and be able to help other people and to elevate other people for the good. And so I applaud you. So, and my next question is, and so what are some of the things that our listening audience is able to do to help you and what you're doing? Obviously, you're on the West Coast. You're also in Chicago.
Exactly.
And we got listeners all over the country and Canada. And even Europe.
And there you go. And one of the things that you can do, you can go to the BarrioFoundation.com, Robert Renteria, RENTERIA, and you can find a way to lend your support, whether you give a donation, whether you want to come out and support. And we have events starting after the first of the year. And likewise, for the people in California, I'm out here probably for the next couple of months. If you want basketball training as well as that type of thing, I'm at the MAP facility, MAP, in Garden Grove, California, and you can reach out for me there. And likewise, I have a website, HodgeOnHoops.com, that should be coming up in the next couple of days.
All right. Well, Craig, let's talk about you've been talking about the Barrio Foundation, but I think that the key component is you want to help children. And I think that that's one of your passion, because you see how people were able to help you get to success, and you want to see them be as successful as you and be great members of society. And that's to help the poorest of the poor, and you have the ability to do that.
Absolutely. And I think that's the biggest part of it, man, is that as we get older, we see the importance of people who have impacted our lives in certain ways. And you can see through what you've done with your career, and likewise, people lend to, you know, lend themselves and kind of sway towards your direction as far as for guidance and stuff. And I think that's one of the things that we have to be more cognizant of, is that when children are reaching out, to take the time to see what they're thinking about. And lend some support to them on levels of information and knowledge. And that's the thing that I want us to start to be a little bit more conscious of, is that as athletes and entertainers, we are actually a resource base for our communities, whether it be locally, nationally or internationally. I think we have the ability to change the condition of a lot of people. And I think right now we see that direction happening with a lot of athletes and entertainers, but I think we need a galvanized mechanism and vehicle that we can all lend ourselves to, so that we're not missing anybody.
Definitely. Absolutely. And I think that the key part of all this is, again, that you are there to do great things and young people, and seeing giving back and paying it forward. GJ, you always say, GJ is a great proponent, Craig. When you get to hear, learn more about what GJ's done in his life and how he has mentors like Coach Dale Brown and John Wooden. He really is good friends with Dale Brown. He's learned, haven't you learned from Dale, the importance of paying it forward?
Absolutely.
One of the things that I learned, and I was on a radio show earlier today, and I was actually being interviewed, and they asked me, you know, some of the things I learned from Coach Dale Brown. And one of the things that I learned from him is that you can be above the people or you can be with the people. And when you're above the people, you may get results. However, at some point, that will diminish. And being a former military sergeant, I recognize that. And then the other component is when you're with the people, you are able to have sustainability. And, you know, so obviously you're with the people, you're doing those things. And I'd love to find out how we can help, because I've been very good at being successful in business. I consider myself an athlete. However, my athletic ability doesn't compare to your probably fifth grade training ability. So anyway, I love basketball, and I still play even at our age. But what I've been good at from a business standpoint is being able to provide business to elevate other causes. And that's really my whole being now, is to find ways to help other people. So I'd love to find out ways we can help you. And, you know, I'm going to be out on the West Coast next month, so maybe we can connect.
Yeah, definitely have to sit down, man. Because, see, that's the thing. I think that it's like the 6 degrees of separation. The more we start to see, the more we start to speak to one another, the more we start to let people realize where we're at and what we're doing, I think we'll find that there's more people out there with like minds than we think there are, and that I think through that we can build a network and a coalition that can change a lot of lives and move forward in a positive direction. So from that end, you guys have my information. I'm ready to work however we can. I appreciate what you guys are doing with your radio show, because I think that's one of the things that we have to see, is that the media has a lot of control in as far as the direction that people lives are going. So when we look at a lot of the reality shows and a lot of stuff people are getting caught up into, they're looking for something for a positive change and how to do that. And I think we have that vehicle with what you're doing and what we're trying to do with the Barrio Foundation. It's just a matter of time that we get these children to where they see that their lives are as important as anyone else's.
That was great. You spoke about the media. One thing that the Total Education Network and Beach Lifestyle is trying to promote when we're talking about charities and foundations is giving them a voice. A lot of times,
absolutely,
Craig, they want to talk about your career. They don't want to talk about what you're doing now, which you're becoming,
absolutely,
where you're becoming a hero because you're helping others. You know, what
yes,
you did
sir.
On the basketball floor, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You excited people. You made people cry like me as a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. But the thing is, now what you're doing is giving back. And like you said before, God gave you this talent. Now you have to take that status of your career in basketball and now finally make a difference. It was very interesting. We had Olden Polonies on the show a couple weeks ago, and he ended up becoming an ambassador of Haiti. But he sees the importance again of, I guess, being active and after your career and changing people's lives.
That's it. And one of the things my grandfather told me, and love him, you know, Lord West, rest his soul, he told me when I was probably 8 or 9 years old, you know, we'd get up in the morning, cook breakfast for me before I go to school. And he told me, hey, boy, look at the newspaper. And I picked the newspaper up, and he said, I want you to start at the beginning. And then I was looking at the Sun-Times, and he's like, what you see on the front page? I say, you know, stuff about what's going on in the world, politics. He's like, okay, let me know when you get to the sports page. And the sports page is on the back of the paper. He told me, he said, look at how big the sports page is compared to the rest of the paper, and you'll see how important sports is to the world. That it's important to the point that it can give you a way to relieve stress. It can give you a way of building a cooperative learning base, and it's fun. Don't get it twisted to think that sports is the end all. And I think that was one of the best lessons that he gave me, in as far as putting into perspective how important it is for you to realize what your real life is about and where sports fits. And don't ever get it twisted that the sport is more important than the life.
So true. I absolutely believe that. And in life, we know whatever our talent is, if we can take that to the greatest ability and to be able to then be successful and then help change people's lives that need that help. And GJ, the organization GJ's involved with really helped out the community a couple days ago, correct, GJ? You can explain that a little bit to Craig, right?
Well, we just had on Saturday, we had what we marketed as the world's largest giving day, where we could donate for as little as $24. You could donate, which would equal like 30 meals. the kids, and you can specify certain organizations that were pre-approved.
Yes, sir.
And so I don't know what the total number is, but it was a lot. I know my wife and I, we donated over 2,500 meals. And, you know, there's a lot of people in need. So that's a whole other thing that I know that exists where a lot of kids aren't getting fed.
There you go, man.
They're not getting the nutrition. And then next thing you know, they're off to doing bad stuff. And one of the things I've seen with my kids is that when they have good nutrition, they behave a lot better. They're more focused in school. Their grades are better. They do better in everything. And so, obviously, I definitely feel in my spirit we can do a lot of great things. And,
yeah, brother, I'm with you.
Well,
I'm with you guys.
Well, I appreciate coming on the show. So one of the things that we ask our guests is what's your 90-day challenge goal? So what do you expect to accomplish over the next 90 days?
For me, it's a couple. It's twofold. One is to build a coalition with athletes and entertainers. So right now, in the next 90 days, I'm trying to galvanize the support of at least 25 to 30 athletes. On the other side, from the sports end of it, I'm trying to reach out and touch at least 100 basketball players who are playing basketball right now to get their games to the next level, whether it be teaching, letting them know what the proper protocol is to become qualified for the NCAA clearinghouse so that you can be recruited as a player. What are your fundamental skills? Where are you lacking in that? So we have a video series. We have a video program that I'm working on with athletes where you send me a videotape. I'm able to analyze your videotape and talk to you about, you know, your strengths and your weaknesses. So for me, it's, you know, going after like-minded people over the next 90 days and see if I can get 30, 40 athletes and entertainers to be involved in what we're doing and trying to get the young folks to, you know, wherever you need help in your game, holler at Hodge.
All right, Craig, where can we find information on you and learn more about you?
Like I said, you can contact Geraldine, who you guys spoke to before. She has all the information, as well as you can contact HodgeOnHoops.com, as well as the Barrio Foundation.
Well, Craig, thanks for being on the program. And to learn more information, Craig, on GJ, go to SimplyG.com, and he could learn about his health and wellness company and all the cool things he does for entrepreneurship and also giving back and training. It's great to have two awesome people like you two in an interview. So thanks again for calling, Craig, and definitely we'll be in touch. Give us updates of what's going on. All right,
DJ, I had a question. DJ, was Tex Winter down at LSU when you were down there?
I don't know when he was down there, but I know him and Dale Brown are very dear friends. I know Tex Winter was at Kansas State University when my dad went to K-State. So,
Tex was my college coach for 4 years at Long Beach State, man.
Well, you couldn't have a better. He's with Lester. They call Phil the Zen Master. He's the Zen Master of Masters.
Exactly. All right, brothers, y'all take care, and I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a peaceful day.
All right, you take care, right. Greg. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Craig.
Okay, peace. Bye-bye. We're back to the Total Tutor Show, and we are ready for the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity segment. So I first want to welcome the program my co-host, G.J. Reynolds, SimplyG.com. G.J., how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Neil. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. And go ahead and introduce our celebrity for today.
Well, I'm very honored that she's on our show today. She's a professional hurdler. And she had success in London, and she won the bronze medal in the 100-meter hurdles. And she represented our country very well. She's got a very powerful story. She's very committed to helping others achieve more, and which is obviously what our show is all about. And she's helping to do her personal story, which was also shown on ESPN E60 recently. Very empowering story, and I know she's touched your eyes. And so please welcome to the show, Kelly Wells.
Hello, everybody.
Kelly, thanks for being on the show. Really an honor to have you on, especially what your success in 2012 at the Olympics in London, especially with our international audience as well. But I wanted to, first of all, go into definitely things that you really are passionate about, and that's especially the foundation of charity, if you don't mind, and then we can go into a little bit of the story of the Olympics. But really, I think that's one of the things you're going out and trying to talk about, isn't it, Kelly?
For sure. I definitely want to use, you know, what I've done as a platform to help people and bring awareness to so many issues that I feel like are swept under the rug, and it's domestic violence and sexual abuse in children.
All right. Well, let's go specifically what you're trying to do right now, Kelly.
I'm definitely just trying to just raise awareness in community, because I feel like a lot of women and children and men, because it does happen to men, they feel ashamed of themselves and they feel like it's their fault. So I want to raise awareness, help people realize, you know, they don't have to stay in their situations, and to provide support for women, or, you know, for people who may not have, you know, a way to get out of their situation.
Well, absolutely. And GJ, I think that's one thing that we talked about on the show a lot, is that celebrities are able to be able to raise the awareness of their foundation more based on that name value, right, G? That helps a lot.
Well, correct. And Kelly touched upon it. She, because of her platform and all her hard work and success that's paid off, she's got a platform and she's got the microphone where people are willing to pay attention. And I applaud you for, you know, stepping out and using your platform for the greater good. You know, a lot of people are afraid to do that, and you touched upon you know, where a lot of people who are abused or victimized, that they're ashamed, and they feel like, you know, they're the cause of it, when it's the opposite. And you know, you've been able to step out of the shadows and to create that awareness. So you know, obviously here's a couple of questions for our audience. Are you still running? Are you still planning on running in the next Olympics or the track season? And also, what can we do to help get involved, to help you with what you're doing?
I'm definitely still competing. We have a lot of stuff that actually goes on in between the Olympics. We'll have this year, or in 2013, we have World Championships, which is in Moscow. So that's what I'm preparing for now. And it's kind of like the Olympics, but just the track. So it's very, very exciting again. So it's like the action never stops for us. And I just really, you know, as far as helping people, you know, whatever calls you, get involved. I feel like people have so many passions all the time, and they never get involved because they feel like somebody else will. Somebody else will help. Somebody else will do it. But if everybody took, you know, just a little half a step to help somebody else out, to help the next person, the world would be such a better place.
Absolutely, Kelly, and I believe that tremendously. And when GJ was talking about how you're able to spread awareness, what are some of the things coming up during this calendar year, especially 2013, that you're looking to go out there and promote, especially stopping domestic violence?
Well, I'm involved with a place called the Harbor House. It's here in Orlando, Florida, and it's like emergency shelter for women that, you know, need a place to run to when the situation has gone completely crazy. And I'm really, really excited about getting my foundation off the ground. It's so much work, and it's a lot that goes into it, but it's such a passion of mine that it doesn't even feel like work. So those are some of the things that I'm doing. And I do a lot of volunteer work, giving back, you know, going to the children's hospital, especially around the holiday times, because this is the time where people's emotions get so high. And if you could just give them, like, one glimmer of hope, to change their entire lives.
Absolutely, GJ, and I think that's what especially this time to give. We've talked about this so much, GJ. Once you attain certain success in athletics or business, you have to give back and pay it forward, right, G?
Well, most definitely, and one of the things that, you know, we've had on the show over and over with celebrities and athletes and business people is, you know, the constant able to give back and help those who are in need, and you know, paying it forward. And there was a time, you know, where most of the athletes and celebrities and business people had struggles, and somebody reached out to help them, whether it was mentorship, whether it was coaching, whether it was you know, just a little hand, you know, a hand reaching out to help them or whatever it may have been. And, you know, so paying it forward is definitely something that we teach. And the more you give, the more you receive. And I've seen that in my own personal life. And obviously Kelly's doing that. And so, I applaud you. So what are some of the other things that you'd like to share that we could help you with? You know, obviously you're spending your time. So more specifically, what are our audience able to do and with your foundation? And you know, where can they go and to help with your cause?
Well, I'm definitely reachable on my website, and that's www.kelly-wells.com. And I'm definitely reachable there. It'll be a lot of information about my foundation there. It's not started yet. It's a lot of paperwork, but we're getting it off the ground. And then I want to have, you know, semi-annual retreats for young girls to teach them, you know, just coping mechanisms if they keep violence in their homes. Or also, a lot of people don't know love. They don't know real love, so they search for it, you know, in these bad relationships, and they feel like that's all that they can get. About love and self-love. And, you know, like life skills, resume skills, typing, you know, things that, you know, women are lacking these days.
Absolutely, Kelly. And based on your story, I think that that's what the thing that you look at. You saw, based on during the Olympics when they were running so many different stories on you, that kind of gave you that incentive to say, you know what, I can do even more. I've gotten my 15 minutes of fame in certain ways, got my bronze medal. Now I'm a celebrity. I have to do this. So I guess the whole process of thinking about doing the foundation through the experiences in London have led you to where you are today in that that development of the foundation. Isn't that correct?
Completely. I think back to my childhood, and I think would have reached out and just help my mom, you know, took a moment out to, you know, share their experience. You know, maybe things could have been different, but then maybe I wouldn't be, you know, where I am to be able to help people. So I try not to dwell too much on the past and just think about the gifts that I've been given and how I've turned, you know, bad situations definitely into a wonderful life.
Which, that's fantastic to know that. And to know that through our hard times and our trials in life, we can get up and get moving again. And I think that that's one thing that GJ teaches, and this is one thing to really promote about. I consider GJ my mentor when it comes to business, Kelly, and I've learned so much. Because I'm an educator turned, I guess, wrestler turned educator, turned entrepreneur, and I see so much, and we learn from others, Kelly. When we're able to learn from others and learn from their experiences, and GJ hit rock bottom in his life, and he got up and went and kept going, right, G?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I was in depression. I was suicidal 11 years ago, and I was really, I spoke to a group this weekend, and I basically said I was in a victim-conscious mindset. And you can be either the victim and victim conscious mindset and let it control you, or you can be an empowerment consciousness. And, you know, it took some time to become conscious, you know, have that awareness and then be able to be empowerment consciousness. And obviously you've done that. So what would be, you know, one or two things that you could share with our listeners that could help them if they're in a tough situation and, you know, for those that know your story and know that, you know, some of the domestic and child abuse that you went through, what would be some of the things that you would recommend that they do, that they could easily do and empower themselves?
I think self-reflection is one of the main things, like realizing that there's a problem, be it, you know, within yourself or in a relationship, because if you never realize it, you'll never be able to fix it. And that was one of my major turning points in life. Like, I had problems. I had relationship problems. I was, you know, definitely in and out of relationships that I shouldn't have been in, searching for, you know, something to fulfill me. And, you know, I didn't realize it until I took some time and I thought about, you know, why my life was the way it was. And so I definitely tell people all the time, like, take time to think about yourself, to think about what you're doing in the situation. And then if you're in a domestic violence situation, like, love does not hurt. Love doesn't leave marks. You know, every day isn't sunny in our relationship, but love doesn't hurt, doesn't make you cry, those kind of things. And to be in a healthy relationship, it takes work. And if a man or a woman is not willing to work at it with you and they want to demean you and, you know, hurt you, be it physically, mentally, or monetarily, you should never, ever put up with that. And God didn't put us on this planet to deal with that. And there's somebody out there that will love you, but you definitely have to love yourself first.
Absolutely. You have to love yourself and truly trust in yourself and to know that the way you treat others, you want to be treated the same way, Kelly. And it's a lot of ways that we have to treat others. But in a way, when we're feeling hurt and abandoned, we think that we can't find anyone else. And that's where we talked about stories as entrepreneurs. They hit rock bottom and a lot of them give up, but to keep on going. And I think that you see now with your foundation and other ventures you're having that you truly believe you can make a difference. And through the hard times growing up, you say, you know, I went through those hard times, but I have overcome them. And now I just can go on and on to the highest level, right?
Completely. I really feel like that. I had a time where I hit rock bottom, and I've seen people hit rock bottom, but it's what you do after you hit rock bottom, and you have to make good decisions. And I'm lucky enough that I had very good people in my corner to help me make good decisions and to talk me through my very, very dark times.
And that's the most important thing is, as GJ's, another one of GJ's big things in his self-help book and slash entrepreneur helping, he is basically to surround yourself with the right people. GJ, as we've talked about before, and now on this new radio network, we have to continue to talk about the whole thing about surrounding yourself with the right people, GJ, because if you're not with people that are helping you out and empowering you, you really feel like you're against the wall, right, G?
Well, correct. And the best way to describe it is, you know, are people making deposits into your life or they're making withdrawals? And anybody that's around is going to make some deposits and make some withdrawals most of the time. However, if they're doing more withdrawals than they are deposits, then you really got to look at the relationship. And, you know, so what I found in the success that I've had is I've had people that believed in me, people that saw me for who I am and saw me where I could be versus where I was currently at the time when I was in a, you know, a dark place. And obviously, Kelly, you've had that. And obviously, you've had that, you know, in the track world as well. You've had a God-given talent, and you've nurtured that. And I know in 2008 you had, you know, you fell, got hurt. And, you know, you overcame that, and you said something that was very powerful, and I'm gonna tweet it as soon as we're done with the interview. And you have two new followers, by the way, and the Total Tutor and one Simply G, is that, you know, what do you do when you're down? And that's a choice you have to make. You know, do you stay down or do you choose to get up? And that's a true testament to who you are as a human being and your mission. And I know we definitely want to do our part to help you with your cause. And so, again, congratulations. And so when you were down back in 2008, you know, what were some of the things that you did to rebound to have such a successful 2012?
There was a time where I really, really wanted to quit track because I was hurt and I couldn't understand, you know, why I was so close to my dream but I didn't achieve it. But I just took time, and I got healthy, and I did a lot of soul-searching, some very painful soul-searching. To look yourself in the mirror and not like some of the things that you see and to choose to change it about yourself is, you know, a very hard task, and I did that. And then I just rededicated myself to everything that I am committed to, and I think it definitely paid off 4 years later.
Well, fantastic, Kelly. One thing that we do on this show, especially the beach lifestyle part of it, is a 90-day challenge. What is your 90-day goal? Where do you want to see your foundation and or also your training in the next 90 days? Where do you want to be in the next 90 days?
I definitely want to be farther along in my process with my foundation. And I just want to actually, like, challenge my fans and my friends and the listeners to better themselves in any way that they can. You know, whatever they've been wanting to do, if there's something that, you know, they've been thinking about, do it, like, do it. You know, as we've seen in the media, you know, people are going crazy. Life is so short, and you don't want to miss a minute of anything that is intended for you. But you can't achieve it unless you don't go out and get it.
Okay, Kelly, where can we find more information on you and learn more and see how our listeners can help with you? I guess we have to message you at the website, and once the foundation's up and running, I know that GJ wants to help, and he's going to reach out to you, and his organization wants to help, and our listeners as well. So where can we find info?
Well, my Twitter. I am an active tweeter. I don't know the correct word for that, but I'm very, very active on Twitter, and I try to tweet back everybody. So I am at Kelly Wells, KelleWellz. And then on my website, I'm definitely reachable there, Facebook, any social media, you guys can reach out to me, and I'm definitely there, you know, 100%.
Well, thanks again for calling the program, Kelly. And just if you want to check out more information, Kelly, on GJ, it's simplyg.com, myself, totaltutor.net. So thanks again for calling. It was an honor to have you on the show. And best of luck to you, and we'll stay in touch on Twitter because GJ and I are active Twitter people too, and we'll connect and do that. All right? All right, take care.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
You're listening to The Total Tutor Show, Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Author's Corner on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Well, I tell you, every day and all the different shows, I say, man, when I started this, did I ever think I was going to get to interview somebody? And then it's kind of funny. I look at my research and say, oh, here's who I have on the docket today. And I'm like, are you kidding me? A Seinfeld writer? I'm just a huge fan of Seinfeld, but he's an author as well. I want to welcome the program Peter Melman, author of Mandela Was Late. Peter, thanks for calling.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I'm excited to talk to you because, again, I mean, I'm sure, especially with the success of Seinfeld, it kind of makes it easier to go out and put out a book, right? Because you have that name. Does that help in the process to kind of market books because of who you are?
Actually, I have to say no.
Really? Okay.
I thought it would, to tell you the truth. But, you know, for a long time I tried to get a collection, you know, published. And it was funny because everybody kept saying to me, well, you know, it's really hard to get a collection out there now. You know, it's really hard to – a literary agent was saying to me, it's really hard to sell a collection. And so I would always say, yeah, well, you know, it's really hard to write a collection. That's how the American economy works. I do a hard part, then you do a hard part, which didn't seem to ingratiate me. But then someone who was a writer at the Washington Post when I was a writer there in, you know, the early 80s – at late 70s, started his own imprint of publishing and approached me about writing this, about, you know, publishing this book. So it was really exciting.
So you had a dream of writing this, but yet you've been turned down so many times. You're like, eh, you know what? Let me just do and make my money what I do. And then, bam, it just came to you and said, oh, great, now I can do this. So I guess this is a labor of love then, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I've reached this point where I really feel that labors of love are kind of important because, I mean, you know, you better enjoy the writing part because that's all you can control. And, you know, once you hit send, you know, it's like driving a new car off the lot. Everything devalues by 50%.
So true about that. Absolutely. So tell us a bit about the book. First of all, the title. Again, because people could think, oh, man, this sounds dry, you know, because you hear the word Mandela. But what – give us the
– Mandela Was Late is the title of one of the stories, of one of the pieces in the book. I mean, most of the pieces in the book are nonfiction, you know, essays about real things, but – I wrote this one piece that was published in Esquire, this kind of fantasy piece about Nelson Mandela's last meeting with his parole officer. And that was kind of funny because the parole officer treats him like any other thug. And it was just like this really fun idea.
And then from there, other stories came as well, right?
Well, yeah, I have, you know, a bunch of other stories. There's one called Blank, which is another kind of fantasy about a guy who has absolutely no opinions on anything, and he becomes a columnist for the Los Angeles Times, and it's just, his column is just 14 inches of blank space, and it becomes this sensation in Los Angeles. The title is actually, of that story is actually Blank. And then there are a bunch of, you know, other, as I said, non-fictional kind of essays. But one of them was also a little bit fantastical. It was about it was about how Philip Roth seems to never be connected to the steroids situation, even though he keeps writing these unbelievable books in the 70s.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. And I think that what you do in your writing is always looking for that entertainment value. And I guess when doing work, you decide, okay, I'm going to play around. Writing is definitely a pastime for you as well. Like, you're doing your business writing of certain projects, but yet you always have your side things or just something that, you know, hey, I like to do on the side, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it does kind of work out that way economically, but I always felt that writing these kind of essays and articles is what I do, and doing something like Seinfeld was actually kind of an off the track, you know, get a little bit of a detour in what I normally do. I know Seinfeld seems like a fairly big detour, but that's the way I feel about it.
So
I'd much rather write full sentences, you know?
Because you came up with all these great ideas through the Seinfeld series, and I guess anyone that talks to you, once you mention you're a Seinfeld writer, the questions come, right? Oh, my gosh, what did you do here, or how did you come up with this? Things like that, right?
Yes, the questions come.
And do you like the questions?
I love the questions. I mean, you know, they're always kind of fascinating to me, and it's it always kind of makes me think, I don't understand anything about music. So, I mean, if I got to, you know, talk to, you know, Paul Simon, I would ask him the same kind of questions that people ask me about Seinfeld.
Give us an example.
You know, like, when you write a song like American Tune or The Boxer, what comes first, the music or the lyrics? You know, I'm just amazed at, you know, I'm such a words person that it's so amazing to me that people who write music actually come up with the music first.
Right.
So that was the kind of question I would ask him. And then the questions people ask about Seinfeld are really fascinating, like, you know, especially kind of episodes like the Spongeworthy thing, like, where did you come up with that?
Yeah, definitely. Where did you come up with that?
You know, it's you're going to like this, because I actually came up with it driving in my car listening to NPR. And I heard that the Today Sponge was going off the market, that they were going out of business. And it was like, you know, that was like a story sent down from heaven, because immediately in my car, within 15 seconds, I thought to myself, wow, what if Elaine was a big Sponge user? What would she do? Oh, she'd probably have, you know, before they go off the stands, she'd have to buy them all out. She probably, wouldn't it be great if she bought out the entire West Side, but she's still got a finite number of them, so she'd have to be, like, very discriminating about who she uses them on. And, you know, right there, I had four beats of a story.
You did. Let's go, explain to me, how many Seinfeld writers were there, Peter?
Well, you know, if things kind of changed the more successful we got. You know, the first year I was there, there were four writers, I think. Yeah, four plus Larry. And my second year, which was like the really great year of the show, where they had the contest and the... not that there's anything wrong with it, and double dipping, you know, that kind of epic year of the show. really, there were only three of us writing most of the episodes, and then we had a bunch of